Automatic cuts. I got a lot of questions for you about this. First of all, what federal managers and employees need to expect over the coming weeks and months?
Number one, it is highly likely that the rest of the appropriation bills for this fiscal year will be contained in a continuing resolution, not in an omnibus. I talked to appropriations folks yesterday evening, and while they haven't thrown up their hands in frustration, they certainly, I think, are feeling the same kind of fiscal fight fatigue that everyone else in Congress seems to be feeling. So my best guess is a continuing resolution for the vast majority of government agencies, probably lasting through maybe February, March. And even then, given what is going to be a very nasty 2012, I think the most prudent thing is to depend upon, is just to plan on having the same amount of money you have now.
Help me out here. Would that's not tied to what happened with the super committee yesterday, is it?
No, it isn't. It's tied to the fact that Congress, once again, is finding it almost impossible to pass the annual appropriation bills. People haven't been really paying much attention to the fact that the government's been on a continuing resolution, one that expires on the 16th of December, mm-hmm. Because everything else has been overshadowed by the Joint Select Committee. But the fact of the matter is that we have a continuing resolution in place now, and it is very likely that they will have a continuing resolution in place certainly through next February and maybe for the entire fiscal year.
With this continuing resolution in place, then, and the looming cuts that are supposed to happen in 2013 because of the failure of the super committee, how does a federal manager manage in that environment?
I would manage to the worst case scenario. I would say, let's assume in 2013, January, that the across-the-board cuts, the so-called sequester, will go into effect. Half from non-security and half from security programs. These are all from what are called the annual discretionary appropriated accounts. They do not include many of the entitlements and many of the safety net programs, which is one reason you will see some people in Congress very pleased today because some of their favorite programs are exempt from being sequestered.
What's exempt?
Well, for example, food stamps, child health care, all sorts of help for the elderly. Medicaid is exempt. Medicare, you can't cut beneficiaries at all. There's a 2% cap on any cuts out of Medicare, all from providers. So most of the programs that people think about as safety net programs, pensions and health care for the elderly, those are all exempt, which means the rest of government that's annually appropriated through the appropriations process will feel a much larger pain because they'll have to take up a lot of the savings that would normally have come from Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and other entitlements.
We are talking with Steve Bell. He's the Senior Director of the Bipartisan Policy Center's Economic Policy Project. We're learning a little bit more about what your federal agency can expect budget-wise in the coming years. Okay, call me a cynic, but somewhere along the line, somebody's going to say, this doomsday option's just too much. We need to tweak that legislation. And it is coming up on an election season, so what are the odds that this is actually any of this is going to happen?
Well, history is on your side.
Yay!
Graham Rubin Hollings, way back 25 years ago, it turned out to be too tough, and the sequester occurred only one time, and then the Congress just conveniently ignored it. So there is history on your side. However, there is an important point here that people forget. The Budget Control Act is a law signed by the president. To overturn statute law, you need to pass another law. You'd have to get a majority in the House, 60 votes in the Senate in all likelihood. The president has threatened last night to veto such a bill to change the sequestration. So you would have to have both chambers, the House and Senate, override his veto, which is even a more difficult vote standard. I think people who are cynical, like you and I might tend to be a bit, are going to find that it is much more difficult to change the current Budget Control Act sequestration than many people are right now very blithely saying, oh, well, we'll just change it, we'll ignore it. I think it's going to be very difficult to do, because I think it's going to be difficult to get enough Republican votes in the House to overturn budget cuts, and I think it's going to be very difficult to get enough votes in the Senate to impose them. So I think there may be a lot of hopefulness as opposed to a lot of reality in people who say, oh, we'll just overturn the sequester.
But there are other options. I mean, Congress can step in and figure out ways to go back to the drawing board and figure out where the cuts should happen instead of them being just across the board. I mean, the time hasn't completely run out yet, has it?
Oh, not at all. In fact, the tragedy of all this is that in each of the last 2 or 3 years, Congress had it within its power to do everything that the budget that we demanded from the so-called supercommittee. If you pass, in regular orders it's called, you pass a budget resolution in the House and Senate, you attach to it reconciliation instructions asking people from Finance Committee, Ways and Means Committee, and others to change programs within their jurisdiction to find, in this case, $1.2 trillion in cuts over the next 10 years. That becomes a reconciliation bill. It is not filibusterable in the Senate, so you only need a majority of senators voting, and would be sent to the president for his veto or for his approval. No, there's nothing at all that prevents the Congress from doing what it normally has done since the Budget Control Act was, the Budget Reform Act was passed way back in 1974. They can do it. They have it within their power. But remember this, for the last 2 years, Congress has been unable to pass a budget resolution.
A lot of federal managers are listening to this right now, and they want to know, okay, what's my roadmap? Where do I go from here? When can they start expecting even more belt tightening, and how do they manage these murky waters?
Well, you know, I'm sure that OMB will send out all sorts of warnings and instructions at some point, but I would say starting now would be a good time to say the amount of money I have right now may well be the full amount of money I'm going to get for the rest of this fiscal year, and that I can expect maybe as much as a 7 to 8% cut below that starting in January 2013. Now, that's, you know, that's 14 or 15 months from now. So it's, but if you're planning that way, a year ahead, you have to say to yourself, well, they could change the sequestration, but the only way they could change it would be by changing spending laws, and I might be affected by that. So I think the prudent person would say, this is about as good as it's going to get for the next 13 months.
So even though sequestration doesn't really technically kick in until 2013, you got to start trimming back now.
Well, that's it's the middle of a fiscal year, and you know, you can't play games with it. You really have to, I think, right now, assume the worst, plan for the worst, and if it doesn't occur, well, you could have a little celebration.